Okay, good morning. Turn to John chapter 8. That's where we're going to be today, John chapter 8, or that's where we'll start anyhow. Now, if we remember last week, we were studying the teachings of Jesus as he taught through parables. We learned that he often spoke in these parables or these metaphors, and many times these parables left people wondering what he was teaching, didn't it? Not everybody understood what he was teaching. And he said it wasn't for everybody to know. It was for those ones who truly wanted to know and seek God that he would explain to them the meanings. And he did. Privately, he often explained the meanings of the parables and the lessons he was teaching to his disciples. Well, today we're kind of on the same path. To a certain extent, Jesus, again, he's going to be teaching in metaphors here, but in a way that it wasn't as veiled as the other ones were. He's going to make some very bold claims about who he was, basically who he is, and what he came to do, and causing the Jews who heard him to accuse him of claiming to be God. Well, Jesus Christ was God. So he made that claim, and that's exactly who he is God. And so as this is actually probably a good time for this lesson to come, because I know we did the Great Commission Day yesterday, right? And a few people, I think, came across the Mormon and came across Jehovah Witnesses. Well, both those religions do not claim Jesus Christ is God. So when we ever wonder where we can go to the Jehovah Witnesses or to the Mormons, because my relatives are Mormon. I used to be Mormon at one time. I know what they teach. And they'll come across and say, oh, yeah, we believe that. Oh, yeah, we believe that. But when you get to the point where you say, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? They will not say, oh, we believe Jesus is God, because they totally do not believe that. Jehovah Witnesses believe that Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. But that's to the extent that they believe. He was a man that was procreated just like we are. The Mormons, they believe that Jesus Christ was a spiritual son of God. He was the firstborn, and he is a son of Lucifer, the devil. Or not the son, excuse me. He's the brother of Lucifer. And, of course, they both have an argument of who was going to redeem man, and Jesus won, so that's why Satan fell. That's what they believe. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe he can become a God because of all the good works he's done, because they believe in many gods. But we just got to realize that, and this is a point that we can start out with. When you are coming across a lot of these people, a lot of these religions today, that is a good point to start. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, it's a false religion. So we're going to talk about this, and that's where we're going to start about in John chapter 8 and verse 12. Because Jesus makes his claims to the Pharisees. Pharisees were religious people, right? But what did they believe about Jesus Christ? They did not believe he was the Messiah, and this is where he's teaching them exactly who he is. And so we're going to start in verse 12 where it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that has sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither ye go, ye shall not come. Whither I go, ye shall not come. Sorry. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born to fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my words? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep thy sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so here we have Jesus making a claim of being the great I am. And we see this. He's telling the Jews exactly who he is, isn't he? And so as we start out, we look at verse 12. In the beginning of our verses here, he identifies himself as, I am the light of the world. Now, this same word, I am, is the same word he uses in 58. He's self-existing. He's never been created. He's always been, always will be. The word also proclaims that it's really an independence. He doesn't require anything from anyone or anything. He just exists. You know, we require certain things to exist, don't we? God does not. He's always been. Again, that's the other false thing the religion, the Mormon religion has. They believe God was once a man like we were, and then he became a god. Well, that's blasphemous towards God. God has always been. And so that's what he's telling. I am the light, which means when you look at it, if he's self-existing, he's the only true light, and that light will continue to go. He's the light of the world. Now, where else do we find this claim that he was the light that came into the world? If you turn over to John chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, John 1 and 4, I'll get my words right yet. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And of course, that light was Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at the John, who was John writing to? Who? Yeah, he was writing to all believers, but the whole theme of John also is that Jesus Christ was God. Each one of the Gospels have a theme, but John's theme was Christ was deity. Jesus was deity, and John, and we will see, because he makes several, like 8 statements of I am statements, and we'll talk about that today, but he's just showing it. And so Jesus was the light. The Pharisees, of course, when we look at this, they were appalled by what Jesus was saying when he said he was the light. In verse 13, you know, they say that your record isn't true because you're bearing a false witness. You're not telling the truth. Well, what does Jesus tell them? He says, my record is true. And he really tells them Jesus claimed that the Father had sent him. And He also tells them that his record is true in verses 14 through 18. Jesus tells him that the Father bears record of what he's saying is true. When we get to 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. And in verse 18, he says, I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So he also gets down where he says, you know, that the Jews had a record where it took two witnesses, right, to bear a true witness. And if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 17, that's where he's calling it from or referring to. In Deuteronomy 17 and verse 6, it says, "At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death." And so he's telling us and reminding the Jews that from their law, it was established that two or three witnesses would bear that matter. And so then he's telling them that God the Father bore witness of his record, didn't he? Now, how did God the Father do this? Okay, that's one. So turn to Matthew chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 17, and we'll just start in 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And so we see even the Holy Spirit bore record of this one, didn't he? And then in verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So God, even at Jesus' baptism, bore record that he was well pleased in Jesus. How else did did the Father bear record of Jesus? We've talked about it, miracles. When Jesus performed miracles, God the Father, if he wasn't how did the Jews know somebody was telling the truth? Through the miracles that they did, at least at this time, because the New Testament wasn't finished up. So Jesus performed these miracles to show that God the Father agreed with what was being said. So the Father is bearing record. So he says, "I do have someone who bears record of me." Now in verse 19, he also relates something. In verse 19 it says, "And then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." What is he claiming here? That he's God. If you know me, you know my Father. If you know my Father, you know me. Because they're one in the same. So he's making a close connection here, isn't he? He's telling them, if you know me, you know my Father. Because many times they've asked, "Show us the Father." You're looking at him, basically. If you know me, you know my Father. In verses 21 and 24, Jesus is very direct with the Pharisees about where they stand because of what they believed about Jesus Christ. In verse 21, and really, what did they believe about Jesus Christ? They believed he was a false witness, didn't they? In verse 21, he says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." He's telling them, because you do not believe in me, you'll die in your sins. Verse 24 says the same thing. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He's making it plain and clear here, isn't it? There's no other way of salvation than faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our good works. The Pharisees were trusting in their outward works. Many people trust in their outward works. It's the faith that you have in Jesus Christ that saves you. And he's telling them, plain and simple. They did not believe that he was the Messiah, and since they refused to believe in him, they were going to die in their sins. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 4, the apostles said the same thing. And really, the whole Bible is wrapped up into Jesus Christ. He is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. But you get to Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby ye must be saved. Just makes it plain and clear there, doesn't it? And that's what Jesus Christ was doing right here with the Pharisees, letting them know, if you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins, you'll go to hell. That's where you're headed. Now, when he states this in verse 26, he starts talking, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. And they understood that not that he spake of them of the Father. And so when we start looking at this, Jesus uses Father for God, doesn't he? God the Father, because that was his. And they didn't understand what he was speaking of. When we think about it, they're fleshly. They're thinking fleshly, aren't they? They're not thinking spiritual. In verse 28, he also makes even some more bolder claims, because what did he come to do? He came to fulfill what the Father wanted him to do. And what was that? In verse 28, it says, And then Jesus saith unto them, When ye have lift up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Here Jesus is talking about the foreshadowing of the crucifixion, isn't he? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ had to come and die upon the cross for mankind. In John chapter 12 and verse 32, it tells us, John 12 and verse 32, it says, And I, if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all men unto me. So this is where he's also making this statement here when he says, When I'm lifted up, you'll know. He draws all men to him. And so Jesus knew there was only one way to redeem man, and that's, of course, through his death on the cross. And what was the result of this dialogue here with the Jews or with the Pharisees? Here he is. You know, do we not get sometimes in arguments or conversations with people when we're talking about God? And sometimes it seems like it's going nowhere, right? But in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. The Holy Spirit can still work. It didn't always get to everybody's heart, but it got to some, didn't it? And so in verse 31, now all of a sudden he's talking to the Pharisee. He's giving them the gospel. He's telling them what's happening. But then we find out in verse 30, many believed on him. In verse 31, he makes a turn and he starts talking to the people that has believed on him. Verse 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed. So as he's speaking directly to those ones that believed on him, he's telling them who a true disciple is or what a true disciple is. What is a true disciple? Somebody who continues in his words, somebody who's trusted in Jesus Christ, reading and continuing to follow his teachings, isn't it? That's a true disciple. One who's putting their full trust in Jesus Christ. Applying God's words allows us to know the truth, and Jesus tells us this will set you free. Verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Of course, once he tells them they would be set free, then the Jews come in and they answer. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. So here they are. They're still trying to make excuses, some of them, aren't they? Now, first of all, are they telling the truth? Have they ever been in bondage? Actually, they're in bondage right now with the Roman Empire. So, you know, they're just trying to make excuses. They're in bondage with the Roman Empire right now. They were looking for the Messiah to take them out from underneath that bondage. Even in Babylon, they were under bondage. So to say they were never in bondage to any man is wrong. But Jesus was not talking physically, was he? He was talking spiritually. He was talking to them about the slavery of sin, not political slavery, which is what the Jews were really thinking about at this time, or personal slavery. But he goes in here, and Jesus in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." They were in bondage to sin. We all are in bondage to sin. Ephesians 2:2 tells us that. We all walked in the course of darkness at one time, didn't we? And so we're in that bondage. But he's saying, once you believe in Jesus Christ, that slavery to sin, he frees us from it. We don't have to worry about that anymore because he took the penalty upon his cross for us when we trust in him. And so he's telling us that's where, if the Son of Man therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So he's telling us how we can, telling them how they can be free and how we can be free. But he also kind of really goes into more because he starts talking about Abraham here now, and he says, ye are of Abraham's seed. And they believe, you know, we're following the walks of Abraham. But he says, you seek to kill me. Now, did they tell him openly they were seeking to kill him? No, but he's just showing his deity right here, knowing what's are in their thoughts. You're seeking to kill me. And you say you're of Abraham's seed. And the reason you want to kill me is because my word is not in your heart. It has no place in you. And so this dialogue starts coming in, that they wanted to kill him. And again, they are looking outwardly, being on Abraham's seed, but their hearts weren't like Abraham's was it? Abraham trusted God, trusted that the promised seed would come. They were not trusting God. And the same is, they thought, we're the seed of Abraham, so we're safe. We don't have to worry about it. Because we're of the seed of Abraham, we will see God. But that's not true, is it? You got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the same today. Many people say, I was born into a Christian family, so I'm safe. But there's more to it, isn't there? Just because you're born in a Christian family doesn't mean you're saved. There's a personal time that you must put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a child of God, not your family. Verses 37 and 38, Jesus makes a contrast between two fathers. Because we really got one of two fathers, don't we? There's no fence straddling. You're either saved or you're not saved. It's not like you can say, I'm almost saved. Okay, you're lost. You know, plain and simple. But verse 37 says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen of my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. He's making a distinction, isn't he? My father is God. Who's their father? The devil. And so he's telling them there's a difference here. Your father is a devil. In verse 45 through 47, you know, because they start saying they didn't fully believe in Jesus Christ, and he comes in and he tells them in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Could anybody convince Jesus Christ of sin? No. He had no sin. So he says, which one of you convinces me of sin? And if you can't do that, and if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And so they start arguing with him and start saying certain things to discredit him. In verse 41, I think they called him that he was born under fornication, which is a sin, you know. We weren't born under fornication. Well, neither was he. Okay. In verse 48, they come up with another one where they say, Then answered the Jews and saith unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, what did that mean, being a Samaritan? Well, first of all, a Samaritan was somebody who wasn't a full Jew. And so it was a slur to say he was worshiping God wrongly. Because remember the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, she said, we worship here, you worship in Jerusalem. So they were saying you're worshiping a false god. And in verse 52, they come up and then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. So they're just telling him he was possessed. He had a devil. But all these attacks were wrong. I mean, they were just spitting out words at him, but he had no actual sin in his life that could discredit him. And he could even fully say, which one of you convinces me of sin? And they really couldn't come up with anything, could they? He was able to say that without worrying about it. Jesus said, convict me of the sin I've committed, and they could not do it. Of course, Jesus said that all who keep his word will never see death. And the Jews point to, he comes up and he says, those that believe in me shall never see death. And all of a sudden they go, oh, ho, we caught you on this one. Because Abraham, he believed in you. He was righteous. And he died. The prophets were righteous. They died. So you're not telling the truth. And, of course, this just reinforces more that they were thinking in earthly terms, weren't they? They were not speaking in earthly. He was not speaking in earthly terms. He was speaking in spiritual. They would not die. And so Jesus comes in, and they start misunderstanding quite a few things, don't they? But Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day and was glad for it. So he rejoiced to see his day. When we really look at it, Abraham lived many years before this, didn't he? Let me get to here where I want to go. Verse 56, it says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And so I just looked at this. He rejoiced to see his day. He was looking forward. Remember when Abraham couldn't have a child for a long time, could he? Finally had a fulfillment in Isaac. And he was rejoicing. He knew the seed would go on. Jesus promised that through him and through Isaac, the Messiah would come. But he also seen Jesus' day, didn't he? Which tells us he's still alive. He might be in heaven, but he's alive. And here they come up, well, you weren't even yet 50 years old. And you couldn't have lived at the same time Abraham lived. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And here it comes. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He was before Abraham. Were the Jews confused at what Jesus Christ was telling them? No, we can see that in verse 59. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They knew he was claiming to be God, and they thought this was the ultimate blaspheming against God, and they were going to do what God demanded. They were going to kill him. But just remember, Jesus' time had not yet come, so that's why he was able to hide himself. But he told them in no uncertain terms, I am God. Now, this is where we will get to some of this, where when you deal with people who do not believe Jesus Christ is God, they claim that the Bible never Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, this is one verse. He's claiming to be God right here. Where does this verse come from? Where do we really see this verse at first? Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And if we'll just turn there real quick, because I'm sure I'm running out of time. Always. Okay, verse 3 and verse 14. It says, and God said unto Moses, because they're asking, Abraham is asking, who do I say has sent me? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. That's where he uses it. The self-existing one has sent you to them. And so the Jews, who are scholars in the Old Testament, knew exactly the claim he was making right here. And through that, that's where they sought to kill him. Instead of trusting in him, they choose to try to kill him. And so I don't have time for all this, evidently, so we're just going to jump real quickly. There's seven other places that he makes the I am statement, which is the same words that is used in these verses. John 6 and 35, where he says, I am the bread of life. He's the sustenance of life. John 8 and 12, light of the world, and we talked about that. John 10 and 7, I am the door of the sheep. So he's the only entrance into heaven, isn't he? John 10, 11, I'm the good shepherd. He's the one who guides and directs us, isn't he? He laid down his life for us. Of course, he rose again. He's alive forevermore, but he guides and directs our lives. John 11 and 25, I'm the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to receive salvation. John 15 and 1, I am the vine. He's the source of all life, isn't he? He's the one where we grow by. So let's just turn quickly to John chapter 18. We're going to try to get through this real quick. John chapter 18, 1 through 9. It says, then Jesus, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, unto which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell on the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you, I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Then the saint, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I lost none. So here we have Jesus. This is his last night upon this earth before he's going to be crucified. We find out he's with his disciples. Of course, one disciple is missing right now. Judas Iscariot, because he went out to betray him. But they're going into this garden. And this garden is just outside of Jerusalem. And that's where he had gone. He went and he prayed those three times. And of course, soon after he's finishing his prayer and talking with his disciples who are sleeping, Judas brings a detachment of troops with the purpose to arrest Jesus. And of course, when we look at this, was Jesus surprised? No, he even tells him in some of the other accounts, the betrayal is at hand. Let's go. He goes to actually meet them. You know, he don't let them come to him. He goes to them. He knows exactly what's happening. He knew it. Verse 4 makes that quite clear in John chapter 18 where it said, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. So he wasn't surprised. Again, just showing Jesus' all-knowing power, omniscience. Jesus knew he was about to drink of the cup of wrath of his Father. In verse 11, it tells us that, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He knew he had to go. So here's the great I Am that was going to be put to death as a substitution that would secure redemption for everyone that looked to him for repentance and faith. Jesus' deity reigned throughout his earthly ministry. Nothing ever surprised him. He knew all things. You know, he may have set aside his glory, but he never set aside his deity, did he? And so he had his deity. When the guards came, he said unto them, whom seek ye? Of course, they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he responds, I am he. That I am is the same word he used in all the other ones. Now, when you look at the word he in your Bibles, what do you see about that? It's in what? Which means it was not really ever there, right? Now, does that take away the meaning of what he's saying, I am he, in our Bible? No. But just know that he basically told, I am. And what did they do? They fell backwards, didn't they? Here's all these soldiers against one man, and all he had to do is say, I am. And they basically fall to their knees. Did they take him? No. He went with them. Basically, he was showing the power. You can't take me unless I want you to. That's really what it comes down to. When you look at John chapter 10 and verse 17, let's just turn there. Boy, I'm running out. All right. John chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I receiveth of my Father. He laid down his life freely. They didn't do it for him. He did it. In John 19 and verse 10, here he is before Pilate. And in 19 and 10, then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. He's just telling Pilate, he's telling him, you receive that power from on high. Otherwise, you could do nothing against me. Again, he's just freely doing it. Matthew 26 says the same thing. He laid down his life for us. If we'll just turn over to Isaiah chapter 53, that is what God had planned from the beginning to redeem mankind. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressor. He bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And that is what Jesus was fulfilling. He was dying upon the cross. It pleased the Lord to bruise him so we could be set free from our sins. Jesus Christ is the only one who could do that. Nobody else could. That is the difference between our God and our Jesus Christ than the ones who do not believe Jesus Christ is God. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. The only way that we can have eternal life is through Him. Only way our sins can be purged is through His blood, not ours. All right, you're dismissed.